morning and welcome everyone. It's great to have everybody out today at Murfreesboro Church. Grab a favorite gospel song, the Gray Book. Turn over to page 72. Everyone sing out. Singing this morning. I want to welcome everyone again this morning. We have a request to sing an old hymn, How Great Thou Art. So we're going to swap over to the Blue Book, Heavenly Highway Hymns. Turn to page 103. 103.
Thank you, Brother Brad. Good morning. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church this morning. This is our day of homecoming, is what we're calling this. And it's a day of fellowship, a day of getting to worship the Lord once again. It is a day in which that we should just glorify God to the greatest. That last song, it should ring in our hearts. How great thou art, O Lord. I hope that, and I've had several people mention the message last week about it, how that the song, the message of praise and glorifying God, and that's what we should continue to do today. And we were blessed last week with several testimonies, several that were praising God and testifying of God's goodness. And as we sing How Great Thou Art today, I hope that you will take that back to heart, just thinking about how great God is. And I'm glad this morning that we have the opportunity today to give God the glory in this service today. We have a lot of visitors with us today, and we are thankful for each and every one of you coming to be a part of our service today. I hope every one of you can stay and eat lunch with us here in a little bit. We're going to be blessed to have a good meal. Just so you know, Brother Sonny's been in there trying to sample. I was told there was a knife involved to run him out. Yeah. Well, I overheard him. He wanted to be the official sampler, so I thought, well, I might as well pick on Brother Sonny. We are thankful, though, for the good dinner that we will have after a while. But I want us to focus on the spiritual food that we can have today. And if you have anything upon your heart today, I want you to follow the Lord in this service and ask the Lord, what can I do for you? Do you ever do that? You know, Paula's been preparing food. We had a little event last night, and she was preparing things. And I being a good husband, y'all believe that? I being a good husband, I went in there different times. What can I do to help you? Don't believe me, huh? But do we do that for the Lord? Well, Lord, what can I do for you? Not for what we can do for ourselves, but what can we do for the Lord? And that's what I want us to consider today in this service. Let's take last week's service, and a lot of you talked about it, and I don't want us just to live off of that service and say, well, that was good. Boy, I enjoyed all of that service last week. I enjoyed the blessing of it. That service is gone. It is. It's gone. And it's time for us to go and eat again from the Lord's table. So let's keep that in mind today for this service. Let's be about God's business. Let's serve Him today. Ask Him what we can do for Him, and He will feed us even greater than the ladies here will feed us today. So keep that in mind. We want to move right along with the service today. Of course, today is our homecoming. There will be a meal after the service, a good time of fellowship for each and every one, and we want everybody to stay if you possibly can. We want all of our visitors just to make yourself right at home with us is what I want you to do. And so keep that in mind. This Friday, we have our Joyful Hearts meeting. That is our adult Sunday school class. We will meet together here at the church, and we will have a good meal and good fellowship once again just for that group. So keep that in mind. That's Friday at 11 a.m. This coming Saturday night, the Chuck Wagon Gang, the gospel group, the Chuck Wagon Gang, will be here for a concert or singing for us tonight. That will be at 6 p.m. this coming Saturday night. And so keep those announcements in your mind and on your heart And let's just ask the Lord just to give us a great blessing with these things. I'm satisfied there'll be a lot of visitors that will come in for the singing. We want to make them as welcome as we possibly can. And we all know that there's been different ones that came here because of singings in the past, and, well, they just got stuck with us. They decided to stay, and we were thankful for that. So let's be as good as we possibly can, but we need all the members to come and put on a good light for the Lord during that service is what we want you to do. With that, that'll be my announcements tonight. Today, we want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes, and we always allow one of our young people to read the prayer request from the service from the Sunday school. Who is doing it today? Landon? Oh, okay. Landon, if you would, come right up here. He's going to be reading for us today. Let me get this thing down lower for you.
This week's birthdays are Amanda Shannon, Beth Grewan, Dylan Cox, and Jamie Loving. Prayer requests are Mrs. Mona's father is in hospital. Mrs. Nettie had knee surgery. Pray for Lowell's, Davenport's, and McClanahan's. Most important, pray for the lost to be saved today, Brother Hackett as he preaches, and that we will follow God today and every day.
I was about to forget that too, wasn't I? I'm glad I've got reminders here. And we haven't had our children's church as of yet. And with that being said, we want to call the kids up at this time for our children's church. How about right over here? Got a good group here again today, haven't we? A few more coming. Good. Got a new person too. We are thankful to have all of you with us today, and I appreciate you all very much for coming up and being a part of our children's church. Now, this morning, I'm going to tell you one that may be a little bit new to you, and we're going to start out with Noah. Y'all know who Noah was? Noah, yeah? Y'all real excited this morning. All right, Noah built what? An ark, right. Okay. That ark went through a great big flood, right? In that flood, it, bad thing to say, but it destroyed everybody but Noah and his family, right? How many sons did Noah have?
Three.
Three, right. Does anybody know one of them's name? Go ahead.
Japheth,
right. Somebody got another one? Anybody know another one? Who? Oh, okay. No, that's not one of them. Let me go ahead and help you out here. He said Japheth. There was one that was called Ham, and one was called Seth. Okay. Yeah. Okay. To kind of give you an idea of where I'm going here today, after the flood, these three young men and Noah and their wives, they started having children, and they started reproducing in this earth, and that's where we came from. We all came from those descendants right there, and truthfully, our ancestor was Seth's family. He was the father of the people of the European nations, as it's called, the Gentile people, and that's who we were. Japheth was the one that was the father of our great-great-great-great-grandfather of Abraham, thus of the Jewish people. Ham was the father of the ones that went to the south, down into Africa, and to other areas. But before all of that happened, there was a time when they was all speaking the same language, and there was a king that came up out of that family of Ham by the name of Nimrod. Now, how do you like that name, Nimrod? When I was young, it was kind of a slur to call somebody a Nimrod. It meant they wasn't real smart. Now, Nimrod was not a guy that was not smart. Matter of fact, he was a strong man. He was a great hunter. He ended up being the king or the leader of all the people at that time. Now, where he lived at is where we call modern-day Iraq now. And he had a city started there. He wanted to build him a city, and then he got a bright idea. He wanted to build a great big tower to get to heaven. Now, can you imagine building a tower with the idea of getting to God? That was what he wanted to do. I kind of think he wanted to do. He wanted to be able to get to heaven without repentance and faith in the Lord. He thought he could do it by building a tower to get there. Basically, what it would be like was like, I'm going to build a ladder tall enough to go all the way to heaven. And if you ever talk to some of the people about that area, it got to be called Babel. And that Babel became Babylon, which is just north of what is now called Baghdad. And Baghdad, and if you go just north there, there's still evidence of that tower being there, they say. Now, I've never been there, but there's this huge mound, they say, and it was the basis of this tower that God looked at and saw what they were doing, trying to get to heaven on their own merits. And because they were trying to do it that way, God said, we can't have this. Now, God said, the best thing to do is if all these people are going to get together and they're going to try to get to heaven by building a tower, I'll just make it where they can't understand each other. Did you ever wonder where the Spanish language came from? What about German? We kind of think, well, Spanish language comes from Spain. German language comes from Germany. These other languages, God gave us them. And you know why he did it? To confound them, because they did not need to build something that would get them to God by their own merits. Now, I'm going to give you a little example. I'm talking to you right now, and that's the way those people were doing. They were out there working, building bricks and stacking them on top of each other, had a big tower started, and all of a sudden they was just talking away, and somebody, I was just going to say, what's you going to do? Now, that's just something I made up. But y'all gave me a funny look. Yeah, you didn't? Oh, okay. But the thing about it is, where they couldn't understand what they were saying, they all divided up and they went different directions. Some went farther east. They went over into India and into China. There were some that went north, and they went as far as what we call Germany now, even far as west as what we call France and Great Britain. Some went south, as I said, down into Africa, and God had them to populate those areas. So what did God do? He made it where that you have different languages. Now, me, I can't understand what some of those people are saying. Well, I'll say it. Sometimes I don't even understand what y'all are saying. Do y'all understand me? Good. That's why we need to work together to spread God's word, even to those that can't understand us, lest they try to find another way to get to Jesus. See, that's your job, too. Especially after that you get saved, is what I want you to understand. With that being said, I'll hush and I'll let y'all go back. Y'all go back to your mamas, grandmamas, whoever. I hope the kids enjoyed that. Hope y'all enjoyed that this morning. As I said, though, we want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. And I thank each and every one of you for being here today. And you heard the prayer request just a little while ago from the Sunday school classes. Does anybody else have a prayer request this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? We do need to remember different ones that were mentioned there. I want us to especially remember these that are unsaved in our midst today. I want you to just do what the Lord would have you to do. See, it's important for us to put our light up on the candlestick so that they can see us as saved people and want to be saved like us. They need to want that. So let's put our light out there today, and let's be about God's business. Anybody else have a prayer request? I'm thankful to see each and every one of you here today, and as I said earlier, I'll get it out right in a minute. As I said earlier, we are glad to have our visitors with us today. Make yourself right at home with us. And if you've been saved, you worship with us. Now, if you're not saved today, I hope before this service is over that you'll seek the Lord to the saving of your soul, to where that you'll know that you're saved today. That's what our aim is today, is for you to be saved. With that being said, if there's nothing else, Brother Seth, will you start a prayer, please? Everybody pray.
Already been blessed by being here this morning. I hope you have too. Favorite gospel songs, page 150. 150. Amen. Little brother, come up here and help me. Turn to page 242. I was texting to Brother Key this morning about there, about a homecoming. Someday. I don't know when for me. But let's all try singing this one. Go. I'm going to let you lead it, Brother Seth. Go ahead.
I'm longing to be true, that I might live there with you, when all earthly cares are ended, and our spirits are set free. If I may but shake your hand, when I reach the golden strand, oh, I know that heaven's joys rich will be.
When I was little, my grandfather, Elder D.C. Barton, used to sing this, and it's on my heart to sing it. I've never done it before, so see how it goes. On the other side of Jordan, just beyond the shining strand, I'll be resting in the beauty of that land. I'll go walking through the garden with the man of Galilee, who was master of life's trouble, stormy sea. I am waiting in the shadows or the shining angel band that will come and take me homeward to that land. On the other side of Jordan, They are waiting there, I know, and I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready now to go. On the other side of Jordan, I have friends I long to see. I have loved ones in that city waiting me. They are rested from their labors. They are free from all their tears. They are parted from the burdens of the years. I am waiting in the shadows for the shining angel band that will come and take me homeward to that land. On the other side of Jordan, they are waiting there, I know. And I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready now to go. And I'm ready, Lord, I am ready now to go.
Enjoyed the good songs this morning. Does anybody else have anything on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or something we need to do? Something you need to do. Maybe that's what I should say it. Let me get this up here where I can read. Taking a reading lesson today from 2 Samuel. That's where we're going to take a reading lesson from. The first chapter. 2 Samuel, the first chapter. As a background for this, King Saul has just died. He died in battle. He and his son, Jonathan. And to kind of bring this out a little bit, I think most of you realize in that story about Samuel and Jonathan and their death, King Saul had the kingdom rent from him and his family because of disobedience unto God. He didn't do what God told him to. And Samuel told him, it's going to be rent from you. And God had Samuel to go anoint the youngest son of Jesse, David, as we know him, King David, I'll say it that way. He was anointed to be king. And during this time, or after this time, I guess I should say, Saul, not knowing who David was as far as who God intended for him to be, he started to have what I'll call his nerve problems. He got to a place where that he just couldn't be at peace. He disobeyed God, and he knew everything was wrong between him and God. I believe he was saved. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people do not believe he was even saved. I do. And I'd back it up for you, but let's don't go there right now. But the idea is because of his disobedience, he started having a lot of trouble. And as I said, his nerves got the best of him. And he'd gotten such a shape that they had found the best thing they could do was play music for him. Well, there was a young lad who had the ability with a harp, and they went and got went to Jesse's house, and they got David to come and play the harp for him, and it would soothe him. Well, as time went on, and you know the story of David and Goliath, how David slew Goliath, how that he became a great and mighty warrior. And because of that, the people praised him a lot, and King Saul got jealous of him. Got so bad that when David would be in there playing the harp for him, that Saul would pick up a spear, and he threw it at him with intent to kill David because of all the things that was going on. After that, of course, David had married Saul's daughter, and so he had somewhat a right to the throne because of that, after all of the sons of Saul were dead. He had a right to the throne. So he was part of the airline, but still he was not nowhere near it, other than the fact that God said, David will be king. Now, as this went on, and Saul in his anger with David, and him seeing how the people loved him, he grew angry with him more and more. Even run him out of the kingdom, in a sense. Sought his life at different times. David had the opportunity to take Saul's life, but he said, he's God's anointed, and I'll not take his life. And there was times that if Saul had had an opportunity, he would have slew him. But now, as I said, here in this first chapter, Saul and Jonathan, his eldest son, whom David loved, they loved each other like brothers, basically. They were close. And Jonathan had helped David at different times, is what he had done. So you could see the love of Jonathan for David and vice versa. But now both of them were dead. And David was in sorrow. Now, if you look up at the 17th verse, and that's not where I'm starting my reading verse, it said David lamented, and that means a great sorrow is what he had. In other words, he was crying over King Saul and his friend Jonathan. Now, I want you to notice something. Even though that King Saul had so much anger and desire to have David's life, David still loved him. He had a desire for King Saul, we'll say. And he was sorry of a great sorrow. Called it lamentation, you might say. A very deep sorrow is what he had for these two men. And I want to drop down to verse 23. And I want you to hear the words of King David to come, I guess is what I'll say. For King Saul and his friend Jonathan. And he said, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. Now, if you had somebody trying to kill you, would you call him lovely? Would you call him pleasant? David did. And he says, and in their death, they were not divided, meaning they were together. And they were swifter than eagles and were stronger than lions. Talking about how they went into the battle. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high place. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Verily pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of their war perished. That's reading 23 through 27. Of the first chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, and you're probably saying, where in the world is he going with this message today? In a sense, with this reading lesson here today, it's really not going to have a lot to do with the actual direction of this message. But what you see here is basically what I guess we call nowadays a eulogy for these two men. A eulogy, and as far as a funeral is concerned, is when somebody gets up and starts to say all manner of good things about the person who has died. Now, truthfully, I've never been used to these eulogies being done in my lifetime. I've seen it a few times over the last few years in different funerals. And I guess probably one of the first ones that I saw was an aunt of mine that her grandson done the eulogy for her. Brought out a lot of good things about Aunt Nell is what she did, and I enjoyed what she had to say, and it was good. Don't get me wrong about that. It was real good. My cousin's wife, Faye, she was eulogized by both her sons and by a granddaughter. Boy, they brought out a lot of good points about her, telling about how good she was, how she helped them in their lives, how that things were done for her, by her, for her grandkids, and such things as that. It was good to hear. Now, here's my question. If you were the one that was dead, what would they say about you today? Now, David didn't have anything bad to say about King Saul. He had every reason to tell about all the bad things that Saul had done to him over the years that he had been basically under the reign of King Saul. He had opportunity after opportunity. This man tried to kill me. This man, he threw a spear at me. He missed, but he done these things. Now, my question is what will they say about you? Now, a few months ago, and I think it was here that I preached what's in a name. And I think I used the scripture that was a good name is rather to be chosen, is the scripture I think that I used out of Proverbs. Now, a good name is truly a wonderful thing to have. And King Saul did have a good name in every way except in two. And that's one, that he was not obedient unto God, and that the fact that he wanted to kill David. I think the rest of the time he done pretty good as a king overall. Now, today we're not kings as far as this world is concerned. But if somebody's going to talk for you today, if you were in a casket, and we don't pay any attention to what's being said about us when we're in the casket, but if there's going to be a eulogy said about you today, you're writing that eulogy right now. Yes, you're writing it right now. Like I said, my cousin's wife, her children told the goodness that she had done, how that she had helped them to grow into being the men that they were. The granddaughter talked about how that she taught her to pray and how to do different things in her life. In other words, we're writing our own eulogy today. But what would they say about you? Now, don't get me wrong here today. This message is not about being that good person, teaching your children how to cook and clean, teaching your boys how to fish and hunt. It's not going to be that kind of a message. That's not what it's going to be. The old song, and I thought about having Brother Brad sing it today, but I just left it alone. What will I leave behind? What are you leaving behind today that will help others to know who you are? Now, I'm going to tell you, let me give you two quick stories here. And the first one would be the last thing I don't want anybody to say about me. But I remember hearing Brother Walter Dewey's in a lesson one day. He was talking about a preacher that he had preached a funeral for a few months before when he was talking. And Brother Walter said, this man did not have the most capable ability to preach. He was not the best preacher by far, he said. He was not a popular preacher by far. But he said, the one thing that I could say best about him was that your children were safe with him. You know, I listened to that thought, and I thought as a preacher, that's something that we as God called preachers should be desirous of, that people could say that your children were safe with us. And that's true. We need that as a preacher. Now, leaving that aside, the first thing that I want you to know about me today, as far as what's good about me, not a thing as far as I'm concerned. The only thing good about me is when the Lord saved my soul. And truthfully, that's today is the main thought. All of the good things that people can say about you, oh, they're nice. Oh, I stood at the casket when my family members were laying in there, and people would come by and they would say, oh, he was such a fine man. Oh, she was so good. She could cook so good, and it was wonderful. She was always so beautiful in her appearance. She done this, she done that. And as I listened to them, I was thankful that they had made that kind of an impression upon their friends and relatives and everything. But the most important thing was that they knew that they were saved. That is the most important thing that you can have today, is salvation. And that is the one point today that I want to try to bring out, because there's evidence of men and women in the Bible that had that kind of a testimony, that they left behind something great to their people. Let me give you a few examples here today. The first one I'm going to, and excuse my hoarseness, I wasn't hoarse until a minute ago, but I want to go to Job, if you will, and listen to the words that he left behind. In the 19th chapter of the book of Job, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Notice he says, "I know." That is an important part to put in there. I know today. I know that I'm saved today. Do the people that you work with, the people in your family, know that you are saved today? I want you to think about that just for a moment. Is there anybody that you're around on a day-to-day basis that does not know that you're saved? Oh, they may know you go to church. They may know you come here, but do they know that you have been saved? That's the important part today. Being a member of the Lord's church, yes, that's the next best thing that you can do. But the most important thing today is knowing that you have been born into the family of God. Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms are destroyed, destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself," he said, "and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Notice he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Notice he said, "I will see him myself." What was he saying in that day, in that lesson that he was giving there that day? He was saying to the people, "I am saved, and I want you to know that I'm saved." Now, when he was making that statement, there was three friends of his that was close by. And his one of those friends' son was there. And you might say today, well, that's only a few people, but they were his friends. And he wanted them to know in this moment of time of sickness that it was all right with him. He would see his Redeemer. He knew that when he died, that the Redeemer, we would be able to see him also in that time. In that doing that, he also wanted them to realize that it was going to be okay in his heart. Let me give you something today as an incentive today in this message today. For what you have within your heart. Let me back up and stop right here. Let me stop for just a minute. I said, what you have in your heart. There may be some here today that do not have salvation in your heart. And if you do not have that salvation in your heart, you need to get it. If you don't know that it's going to be all right when you die, you need to make some preparation for that time. For we are like Job. We know that we, our Redeemer, liveth. And the reason why that we are carrying out this, or why we should be carrying this out, is for a reason today. First of all, we want people to know that we are saved. We also want to spread that word. Let me give you an example today as it gives it in the Word of God. You know the story how that Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, went over into an area over on the eastern bank of the Sea of Galilee. And when he got over there, and I want you to understand, this was not really part of Jerusalem, or of Israel, I should say. That area was a Gentile area. It was an area of sinners even. There were those that were Jews that were saved in that area. But on this particular day, there was a man who had demons in him. The Bible said that when Jesus asked his name, he told him, Legion, for we are many, he said. But what he went about doing, Jesus cast the demons out. I want you to know something. That man got saved that day. He did. He got saved that day. But listen to the point of this. When Jesus got ready to get back on the boat to go back to the other side, the Bible said that that man begged the Lord to allow him to go with him. You know what Jesus told him? Let me back up here. Let me stop just a second. When we get saved, you know what? At that very moment in time, we are ready to go to heaven right then, aren't we? You know, at that moment in time, we would even think within ourselves, maybe you didn't, but and I can't say that I necessarily had the very thought that I just soon go on right then, but we were ready right then and there to go to heaven. And because of that, it was okay if we did die. This man wanted to go with Jesus, just like we did. But Jesus told him, he said, no, you don't need to go with me. It wasn't for us to go on to be with God right then. For he had a purpose in us. He had a purpose for us in that we have to follow him. Jesus told the man, and I want to give you this pretty much verbatim here out of the scripture, if I possibly can at all, and my scripture has gotten moved, but I'll back up, and I'll just quote it to you. When he said, can I go with you? He said, no, you stay here, and you publish in this area. You tell the people around here what great things that God has done for you. Stop for a second. What has God done for you today? I want you to think about it. What has God done for you today? Well, he's done a lot. We talked about that last week a little bit. God had done great things for us in our lives. He let us get up this morning. He let us talk to you. He let us see you. He allowed us to come into this house. We have a great house to live in. I mean, as far as worship is concerned, we've got a place. We got food back here in the back that everybody can enjoy. We've got all of those things. And on top of that, the Lord saved my soul. And that's on top. He said, go tell them what great things I've done for you. And he went and he published it. He didn't just write it down, but he started telling the people. He said, that man that came across the sea on that boat, he came over here and he cleaned me up. He cast all the demons out. I'm no longer bound by that sin. I'm no longer living in that death trap that I was in. He says, I'm living now by the grace of God. What are we talking about? Having something to say about us when we die. Listen to the words of Paul, and you've all heard these quoted over the years, I'm sure. When Paul got down to his final days, I think is what it was. In case you didn't know, Paul was in prison. He was in the prison of King Nero. He had already stood before Nero before, and he had done told Nero about his salvation. He'd done told a lot of people about his salvation. People would come to the house where he was at, where he was kept in bondage at, and they would talk to him about God, about Jesus, and I think about salvation is what he did. But now he was writing a letter to a young preacher, Timothy. And as he was writing this, he made these statements. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You know, when we get into the coffin, when our life is done, our course, our life is done. That's saved and sinner alike. He said, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I want you to listen to those words. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know, that's not a maybe statement. He didn't say, I'm hoping that it'll be that way. He says, it's laid up. And he said, not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. Jesus is appearing. Now, think about this today. Who is those that loves his appearing? Do sinners? If you go over to the book of Revelation, and you'll see that when the Lord is coming back, and he says, they said unto him, hide us, calling on the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sat upon the cloud. Who's them that sat upon the cloud? That one Jesus Christ, our Lord. They're not looking forward to his coming. They don't love that appearing. But we that are saved, we can love that appearing because we've been born into the family of God, not because it's something that we've done, not because of any goodness that we've done, but what Jesus did for us. That crown of righteousness is laid up for us. Do you think that maybe Paul was wanting Timothy to know it'd be all right? Oh, yeah. He wanted them to know that it was going to be all right when he died. Now, I don't know the exact timeline, but let me give you a little quick history. There came a day when old Nero, Caesar, as he was. Y'all heard the stories about Nero and how evil and how mad a man he was in so many ways. but that the according to the historians that it gives about him, that he just gave a command one day and he sent a man down there with a sword and he severed Paul's head from his body. And no doubt he thought he ended Paul right there. But what he did, he freed Paul from this world. And he went on to be with the Lord in heaven because he knew that his Redeemer liveth also. And you can find that, I think it's in Philippians, I believe is where it's at, where he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he knew, he was like Job when he said, I shall see Jesus, is what he said. Now, let me finish this message up here, if I possibly can. If you go over to the book of Acts, and my verses have gotten marked around a little bit off today, some reason or another, and I think it's in chapter 20, 26, is what I thought. Again, we're listening to Paul speak. And Paul is preaching to two rulers, and it calls them kings, but basically they were like governors of a certain of that area. And as Paul is preaching to them about Jesus and about his resurrection, the first one looked at Paul and he said, you're crazy. The second one had a little bit of knowledge about the beliefs that were in that area. And Paul starts to speak to him point blank. And he said unto him, basically, he said, first of all, according to the scripture, he said, Agrippa, he said, do you believe? He said, I know you believe. Now, when he said, I know you believe, that was the casual belief right there. That basically said, you've heard about it, you've heard them talk about it, and yes, you've got that kind of a knowledge, and you've kind of believed what you heard. You want me to give you evidence of that? That old king looked at him and he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, my question today for you that are unsaved, are you one that fully believes the truth about Jesus? Do you really believe that he came into this world, that he was God's son? Do you believe that that God's son came into this world to give his life for you? And when he came here to give his life for you, he actually went through all the suffering, the pain, the agony of this life and gave his life fully that you might be saved. Do you really believe that today? Thank you. I do too. Or are you one of them that's like Agrippa was? Almost. Can you almost believe it? Paul's words was to him, I pray that you're all, not only almost, but altogether. Altogether, meaning all the way believing. All the way to the very depths of your heart. All the way in that way. What are you leaving behind today? You look at the person next to you today. Do they know that you're saved? Look at the person on the other side. Do they know that you are saved? You look at me today. Do I know that you are saved? Have you told me about that salvation that you have in your heart? Or am I in doubt? When Jesus saved your soul, did you realize he gave you the very same instruction as he did that man of the Gadarenes? Go tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you. That's what he wants you to do. Let me give you an example of something one more time, and then I'll prepare to hush, Brother Brad. when you hear of somebody dying, somebody you may just know casually, maybe it's somebody you've heard on the radio or on television, do you ever ask yourself, reckon they were saved? If President Biden got word today that you had died, would he know that you were saved? Nah, he probably wouldn't know, probably wouldn't care, truthfully. But would you know that I'm saved? Do you know you're more important than he is? You are. Oh, he's got a big office. I haven't had the chance to tell him. Boy, I'd love to have that opportunity, though. Tell somebody what the Lord hath done for you. It was a great thing. Why would you hold it back? Was it not the greatest thing that ever happened in your life? Mine was. Oh, I held back for a little bit. I did. I held back for, I'm guessing, 5, maybe 10 minutes before that I ever told it. Wasn't sure. But when I was sure, I was sure. And I knew that I was saved. Nobody of mine used to preach it this way. I want you to know that you know that you know that you're saved. And I want you to know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Why? Because I don't want you questioning. Well, I figured he was saved. He was a preacher. I don't want to be in a church service, a funeral service someday, and I'm not looking for any of you to die no time soon. Don't get me wrong here. But I don't want to go to a funeral home somewhere and think, I wonder if it really was safe. Now, let me close out this way. First of all, I put out a plea to every one of you here back a few months ago. Just write your testimony down the best you can. Put the details in there the best you can. I'd like to have a copy of it. See, I wrote mine down several years ago, not for me, but for those that would find it and read it later. My testimony is supposed to be read at my funeral. I went to a funeral home back a few years ago. Brother Junior Moore was a good preacher friend of mine. And while they were playing the music in the background, a recording of Brother Junior telling his testimony went out all over that funeral home. I heard him tell it. But it was nice to hear it once again. The eulogies, the good and kind words are great. But the best thing you can leave behind is that they know that you're saved. Pass that word along. Brother Brad, I'll hush. While you're getting ready, I'll say, if you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, today is the best day you can take advantage of to being saved. Why not now? Why not now? Seek him now before it's too late. While we sing.